Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You'll listen once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive, and I'm honored and privileged beyond words to be with you once again. I really, truly missed you. We were out about my father's business last week. And we want to speak on what it really means about my father's business. We don't mean it in the sense that our Christian friends believe that our father's business is God. No, we are fathered by the earth. We come into the world, we are a spiritual being, but we have a physical body. And the physical earth actually causes us to open our eyes, to make connections, and to develop an intellect. But we are first a physical being. So I'm about my father's business. The earth is my father. Mother Nature, I'm a part of. And I evolve through sun, through to develop a sun. And from that sun, I develop spirit. This is logical to understand. That we are material. And who needs this more than the African-American community who have been tricked and deceived out of understanding a healthy, what it means, rather, to have a healthy relationship with the material world. So we are honored today to be about our father's business. Remember, we're not talking about God. In fact, I'm convinced that man is not interested in knowing about God because man has a finite brain, a finite understanding. He could never understand God, couldn't comprehend God. God would be God if we could comprehend him. But we can comprehend ourselves. God said, "You cannot see in, I can see into yourself, but you cannot see in myself." This is exactly the words of God. So what man should do is try to figure out himself. And that's what we're here to do. And that's what Religion Means Alive is all about. I see my dear friend was not lost, who's in Los Angeles, but has been found. He's mothered by the earth, fathered by the earth. He's gone from the earth into developing an intelligent reality. And if I believe who he is, I believe this is a brother, he's involved in STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. So if he is available and we press one on the phone, I'm going to have him to come and talk for a while, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk about business. But if that's Brother Imam George Amin, please press one on your phone, and we would love to hear from you or anybody else from Los Angeles. We have 2 hours on the air, and we have a long time, so we have a long time to talk. We want to hear from somebody. So let me also share with you an exciting event that is coming up. That exciting event is the Muslim Mosque Cares Convention. Excuse me just a minute. Please go. Yes. So, I'm being momentarily disturbed by my son, and I'm asking him to leave the studio as we broadcast. So I don't want to come out of me other than myself. But I am a father, and I'm about my father's business. And my father's business is the earth. So I just wanted to share that the Moss Cares, I believe it's the 25th annual Muslim Mosque Cares Convention will be held at Tinley Park Convention Center. The hotels are being booked fully, and we certainly want to see you there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be conducting a workshop. Religion Means Alive workshop. We're expecting there is going to be a singles ball. There's going to be the New Africa Family Day. There is going to be a lot of activity. You know, all of us who share the Imam Muhammad's vision, and some of you who may not share Imam Muhammad's vision because you are not aware of Imam Muhammad's vision, I want to read to you something from a great thinker in the American society, Walter G. Bennis, he was a scholar on leadership, and he says this: Professor Bennis believed in the adage that great leaders are not born but made, insisting that the process of becoming a leader is similar, if not identical, to becoming a fully integrated human being. Both, he says, were grounded in self-discovery. In his influential book on becoming a leader, published in 1989, Professor Bennis wrote that a successful leader must first have a guiding vision of the task of mission to be accomplished in the strength to persist in the face of setbacks, even failures. Another requirement, he says, is a very particular passion for a vocation, a profession, a course of action. A leader who communicates passion, gives hope and aspirations to other people. Integrity, he said, is imperative. The leader never lies to himself, especially about himself, knows his flaws as well as his assets, and deals with them directly. So, too, of curiosity and daring. The leader wonders about everything, wants to learn as much as he can, is willing to take risks, experiments, tries new things. He does not worry about failure, but embraces error. He will learn from them. Professor Bennis goes on. He says he found such leadership largely missing in the late 20th century in all quarters of society, in business, in academia, in the military, and on becoming a leader, he took aim at corporate leadership, finding it particularly ineffectual and tracing its failure in part to corporate corruption, extravagant executive compensation, and overdue emphasis on quarterly earnings over long-term benefits, both for the business itself and society at large. He worried until recently about what he called a leadership vacuum in America, a problem he said was caused to a great extent by the lack of highly qualified leadership training at the national business schools. He goes on to say, a dearth of a vision of business leaders, he said, meant the companies were being led more by managers of the bottom line than by passionate, independent thinkers who could steer an organizational effectively. We're at least halfway through the looking glass on our way to utter chaos, he wrote, and on becoming a leader. When the very model of a modern manager becomes CEO, he does not become a leader. He becomes a boss in the bosses who have gotten America into its current fix. I want to reflect on that. You see, dear beloved people, God instructs us in the purification process before our devotional practice calls a lot to say, if you cannot use clean water, meaning revelation, click to use clean earth. What that means is if you can't have proper religious teachings, then you have to use the rational process, which comes from the earth, and by observing the creation, again, this is what it means about the Father's, our Father's business. We are born out of the earth, and therefore we have to have a material existence. Religious people have been misled by the Satan himself that they should not worry about material life. They should leave the material world to just chance. And isn't this the condition of African-American people? Isn't this what we have done? Haven't we led to our people, allowed our people to just forget the material world while we have $1.3 trillion coming through our hands? And we have not in any way, shape, or form develop the resources that we need. So one of the issues that we're going to address at the Mosque Cares Convention is taking the message of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad to the public, to the 41 million African-American people. I heard some of you saying, well, Brother Imam, you didn't talk about humanity. Yes, I did. African Americans are part of humanity. That's what the big problem is. We don't believe we're a part of humanity. So you start with your humanity first. I have respect for all people. In fact, I represented last week Mosque Cares. Our leader, Imam Warfuddin Muhammad II. He's my leader. You don't have to make him your leader. He's my leader. He asked me to go in his place and to represent us for the World Conference of Religion and Peace, or the American chapter, Religion for Peace. And I am proud to tell you, thankful and grateful to Almighty God to tell you, you have to be quiet because we're broadcasting and the noise comes all the way up here, please. We have to understand that we are part of the world community. I was among Hindus, Sikhs, Zoroastrians, Jains, Jews, Christians, and other Muslims. And I must tell you, as a direct result of the teachings of Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad, I didn't feel any sense of inferiority, and I said this with humility profoundly, that I felt so proud to be an African American, so much so, if at that moment they had told me I had been given the fortune of Warren Buffett, Paul Allen, and the head of Microsoft, Bill Gates, I would have turned it down and said, Almighty God, for all these behind whippings we've gotten, for all these lashes we've gotten, for all this discrimination we have received, we have reached the promised land. Because what Almighty God has given us, nobody on the face of the planet Earth has ever been given before. Dear beloved people, you should be honored to be an African American. You should be honored to be a people. You should be honored to be one who has gone through the fiery furnace. But yet at the same time, you should be humbled by Almighty God's blessing that he has bestowed upon us. And we were heavily and rightly represented at the Religion Conference for Peace, where we were asked to come at the table representing Imam Muhammad's ministry based on the fact that Imam Muhammad over 39 years has worked tirelessly to develop an image for us. And what was so interesting, no other African American was invited. I don't say that with something to make me proud, I'm the only one. No. It's because what God has given Imam Muhammad for us is a direct result of the struggles of African American people. It's the struggle of African American people that we have struggled, the great people like Elijah Lovejoy, the great people like Phyllis Wheatley, the great people like Paul Coffey, all of these people have paid a price for us to sit at the table, to be put on the global stage. And we have been put on the global stage for the purpose of raising up humanity. So I'm expecting each and every one of you, within the sound of my voice, to call up 10 people and tell them to call up 10 people to come to Chicago, to Tinley Park, and be with us for 3 days and let us form the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. That's 3 days. Let's live in community with each other. Let's hear from each other. Let's negotiate with each other for products. Let's invest with each other for business. Let's be educated by each other. Let's enjoy each other's company. And then let us go back and spread that gospel, that good news of what excitingly is happening in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I'm telling you, dear beloved people, I know that soul called Imam W.D. Muhammad would be happy. Even though we can't come to him, he can have a great future in us. And our great future will be in the form of us developing the kind of community life that we indeed need and must have. So we are focusing this week, today, on business. And I want to get back to our topic again, where we were talking about, I must be about my father's business. This is a big issue for us, a huge issue for us. Let's go to sacred scripture, and let's understand what God intended for his creature. God says to us in the Quran, strive with what you have for the promised life, the future, Akhira. But don't forget your share of the material world. Your share, not Bill Jones's share, not Sally Smith's share, not Willie Culpepper's share, but your share. Put your name on it. And you should write a note to yourself, God, I accept your challenge, and I'm going to work to get my share of the material world. You should tell yourself that. You should coach yourself that. And then you need to join together with a pack, just like a group of African Americans who were in the fifth grade in Newark, New Jersey. They had come from one of the most broken home situations. Their family members were drug addicts. Their mother was drug addict. Their grandfathers were drug addicts. They were living with some great grandparents. And in the fifth grade, these three young men made a decision that they all were going to be positioned, and they made a pact, a PACT, together. And those three young men today are practicing physicians. Well, I had a group of students of mine to do the same thing. I didn't inspire them. The book inspired them. God really inspired them. They had a pact that they were going to get into the automobile industry. Now, check this out. These were three young men who were all in foster care. Three young men that reminded me of our prophet. He was an orphan. They were living in a room together. And they all made a pact that they would come to this particular school that I was working at. And that they would get into the automobile industry. One would be a mechanic. One would be a painter. And one would do auto body work. And I haven't gotten a report from them, but I suspect they are doing very well. This is what Religion Means Alive is about. We want to go to every neighborhood. We want to go to neighborhoods just like Brother Imam Adib Shaq is doing right now. In Weekway Park in Newark, New Jersey, he's feeding thousands of people. He's creating an atmosphere. But tens of thousands of people will be there, will eat, have faith, fellowship, family, exercise our faith, will pray together, will work together, will socialize together. And out of that, we just want to see family life come about. And out of family life, we want to see business life come about. And out of business life, we want to see educational life come about. And we want to see political life. And we want to see cultural life. That's why we gather together. One great theologian said, the only way to live religiously is to live in community. I want to give you what the Bible tells us about the material world. The Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things added unto you. So you have to seek God first. God's direction. God wants you to be successful. That's why he gave you a script. Scripture. The script is like you can't be a movie star unless you follow a script. They have a script, a script writer. And that script writer writes a script and you have to follow it. The same thing with religion. God has given us a script, scripture. The Quran, a book which means to be recited. The Bible, a book which means to be read or to recite it as well. It was originally an oral rendition of what God had given, and it was interpolated, meaning it was put in different forms, and the original form has gone, but the essence is still the truth. What is the essence? The truth. A guidance system for man. That's what the Quran says. It is a guidance for one who wants to go right. Do you think God would give you a book and not tell you how to get rich with that book? Not tell you not how to go into the earth and develop materially? How to develop your family life? How to develop your cultural life? How to develop your academic life? No, God would not be God if he didn't guide man. That's the real meaning of scripture, that God so loved the world He gave his only begotten Son, so whosoever believeth in that Son will have everlasting life. The Son is taught by guidance. Huh? The only relationship a man can ever have with God is that of a servant. The only relationship man can ever have with God is that to follow the directions of God. For God to instruct man, to have man to know what God wants for him. And God has laid out to us an instructional plan for how to develop man's life, how to develop his social life. See, we're not left alone. We're not allowed to be freelancers. We're not allowed to come and make up our plan. That's the big problem in today's society. God lays a plan on how we have to respect our parents. God lays a plan out for us, how do we respect ourselves? God lays a plan out how we're to respect our bodies. God lays a plan out for us how we are to develop the material world. God lays a plan out for us how to do business, how to be competitive. And so it is the duty of religion to instruct people how to live here on this earth. That's my Father's business. That's my Father's business. My Father's business is that I've been put in a physical reality. I've been put in the physical earth. And it is my job to dig in the physical earth, to mine the physical earth, to cultivate the physical earth, to do what the scripture said, subdue the earth, make it conform to God's will for me. God says he's created everything in the creation for man and has created man for his mercy. Now, that's a heavy one. I can't figure that one out. I don't tell you I have no explanation. But I do know that God's plan, I think that the bigger problem in religion, if people want to spend more of our time trying to figure out mystery rather than trying to figure out what God wants for you. Our job is to get into the earth. And we as African Americans are here, as Abdullah Muhammad said to us, you're not big until you have equal, greater knowledge than the white man. That's what Abdullah Muhammad said. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you young people may be listening. I would urge you to read Message to the Black Man. I'd urge you to reread it twice. I urge a lot of you to read it. Why? Because after you read Message to the Black Man, I'd like for you to come and study what we have to say. I'd like to go over Imam Muhammad's lessons with you. And I'm repeating what Imam Muhammad said. Because you will understand the picture of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wanted for you. He wanted you to stand up on the earth and be a competitor. And the Honorable Muhammad's biggest goal was to teach us to do for self. Never mind a lot of the rest. His real emphasis was to show us how to build the material world. And we see it. He had farmland. He had airports. He bought airplanes. He had trucks. He had factories. He pushed and emphasized that the Temple of Islam was the employment office. He told us that money, good home, friendship in all walks of life, luxury, peace of mind, and contentment while we live. This is what your brother wanted for you. And we haven't given up that goal. In fact, we are doubling our effort more so now than ever to see it that we have the material world. And as the Honorable Bobby used to emphasize and still emphasize, because he's still with me, I haven't given up on the Honorable Muhammad one bit because I feel that the Honorable Muhammad is with us in his son, Imam Wardi Muhammad. In fact, I feel the Honorable Muhammad, I feel Dr. Martin Luther King. I feel Marty Carr Johnson. I feel the great Howard Thurman. I feel A.G. Gaston in my soul because those men, those women like Sister Clara Muhammad, like Coretta Scott King, those people were people dedicated and committed to freedom, justice, and equality for our people. And they were concerned that we have a right to the tree of life. They didn't want us to be superior to anybody. They didn't want us to be inferior to anybody either. But they wanted us to have a right to the tree of life. And that's what we desire. That's what we must have, is a right to the tree of life, the right to own property. In fact, that's what the United States Constitution gives us, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's not some nebulous concept. It's not some philosophical concept. It's just what I was just talking about, that you will be about your Father's business, about the material world. God sends a baby into the world with innocence, but the first thing the baby wants when he comes into the world is some milk, some food. He wants it on his own. So this shows us that God has put in our nature the nature to want to be independent, to want something on our own, to get food for itself. The baby's been inside the mother, and the baby's been reciprocal of mommy's umbilical cord. Now that baby wants to go for self, wants to do for self. But that's what the African-American has in him. He has a repressed desire to do for self. And that's why we must have visionary leaders. And that's why we have to gather together. That's why we need you to do what you will continue to do, is to support this Religion Means Alive. And you all are doing a phenomenal job of supporting it and giving your strength to it, giving your desires to it, giving your spirit to it, giving your will to it, and giving your heart to it. That's what we need. We need people that will talk this up so we can develop a critical mass. Critical mass for what? A critical mass so we can build new Africa. That's what we want. We want new Africa. We are new people. We are new. You know, I don't believe that we won't be successful in America. I don't buy into this garbage that there's some Islamophobia. I told some immigrant Muslims and others, I don't believe in Islamophobia. I don't believe America is so phobic and fearful that it will not be able to accommodate me. But yet, we have the immigrant Muslims, they are physicians. They're owning businesses. They're owning that, but they're going to give that to us and let us believe that America is so prejudiced against Muslims that we can't make it in America. We made it in America under Abdullah Muhammad. And we can prosper in America and grow successful in America. All we need to do is get up, unite, do for self, combine our resources, pool our resources, and God will give us the promised land.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Religion Means Alive, and we're back, and I'm just going to read an excerpt from Imam W.D. Muhammad out of the July 11th, 2014, but this is a reprint from Muslim Journal dated April 14th, 1989. And I loved this speech that the imam gave. I told my husband about it. It says, the name of the speech is, you have to get prepared to make it in the land of plenty, land of plenty. It says, do not be satisfied. Do not be satisfied. This is the imam's words. Do not be satisfied with your state of preparedness. Prepare to do better. Our society does not value children and does not value parents. That is a quote. That is not my saying. I am quoting Dr. Barry Baselton, who was on public television TV channel 11, hosted by Bill Moyer. That was the first time I heard it put that way. I have felt that and have complained myself. Now, can obedience be expected? Now, can obedience be expected of children when parents are discredited? All of the principal respect and credit is taken away from the parents? It seems to be an intentional effort to break the respectful bond which holds parents and children in a natural working, socially functioning relationship together. The establishment will address the children on matters as though the children are grown and independent. From positions on the school campuses and on the television, they will be speaking to youngsters and telling youngsters that they have to do something to protect themselves. You have to buy condoms. You have to get sex education. The establishment has gone so far as to push children to disobey parents' wishes. The ma'am had it right. I'm doing a lot. Again, I have witnessed the establishment changing. This is the ma'am again. I'm sorry. This is the ma'am again. His words again. Again, I have witnessed the establishment changing the behavior spirit of children by telling them, if your parents deny you something or speak too harshly to you, they do not have to beat you physically, but if they are guilty of just verbal abuse, you can report them to the law. This is not the way to solve America's social problems. You must have a meeting with parents first. You must try to educate parents first. And if you can't educate parents and those parents defy your every attempt, then you tell those parents, now we are going to tell the children we respected the parents. We respected the parents and asked them to address blind, abusive, reckless, irresponsible sex behavior to save children for graduations and for happy marriages. Parents would not help. But even at this sad stage in the matter, still, respect the parents and tell them, we are going to do the best we can to keep your children respecting you. We will word our language in the best way we possibly can. We hope that they will still respect you enough to come in the house and not defy you. That is the way. Even then, it is not necessary to go that far. There are always enough heedful parents in cities to answer a call by the establishment requesting that parents form a parent's front for calling up children of the city to accept the social role of sex. Our religion teaches us never go in by the back door, go in by the front door. Never call on the house and not address the adults. You must address the adults. Members of the public do not speak to children and the adults are away. You have to respect the adults of the house. This is what our society has done, has not done. Therefore, our society does not value children. Allah established the way when he created us. He established parents in their parent role of dignity and respect. Creation treasures Allah's way. Also, the children are to be respected. Our religion does not leave us without proper regard for children. Religion, however, stresses obedience in children for their parents. Allah Most High says in the Quran, if your parents contend with you to get you to believe in other than God, to reject belief in Allah, do not obey them. However, keep good relationships with them in this life. That the establishment would think our religion is a religion for fanatics irks me. Our religion is a religion for rational people. Now, before us is Allah, the Lord of the world, addressing us. How many of us in our positions of authority, power, and leadership could say, child, if your parents do not accept my leadership, then don't follow them in that, but still keep good relations with them? How many of us could say that? Most of us big rabble-rousers, fanatics with power and leadership, if the child comes and says, my parents say that you are to be respected, our response would be, you have to arm yourself against your parents. Isn't that typical of revolution? Today, I am not pointing to any country. I don't want to do that. Muslims have a revolution. Do you think that Al-Islam is not a revolution? It is the best revolution and the most civilized revolution. That is Al-Islam. We are not asked to go out and kill parents and fight parents because they tell their children to reject Allah or Muhammad or Al-Islam. Allah says, if they try to get you to reject Allah, don't follow them, but however, try to keep good relationships with them in this life. Why has Islam, with that balance and that kind of regard for the parent-child bonding and family ties, sensitivities, made people afraid? Muslims are not to be fanatics. Muslims are to be peacemakers. Be not aggressors. And if those who fight you incline towards peace, incline yourselves also. And then it says to be continued. And that is one of the best speeches, excerpts of speeches, I guess being a parent. I guess being a parent, that I can really relate to that. And it was something that I really needed. And that's how the culture has taken over our children. And with that, I'm going to go on to my husband. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Sister Muhammad. And I'd like to again reiterate an invitation, open invitation. Read it with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. The Mosque Cares Ministry of Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad, 25th Annual Muslim Convention at the beautiful and lovely Kennedy Park Convention Center. Don't worry about it. We're going to have one in the next 4 years. Mark my word. I'm not a prophet, but I'm predicting, based on what we have, I'm never pessimistic. I'm always optimistic. Overnight, we're going to have a convention center. We'll have a city right there in the south suburb of Chicago, because Imam Muhammad predicted in 1975. We're going to have that. The last day of Imam Muhammad's life, he had an appointment to meet with people to purchase Chicago Heights downtown area, the tickets to the Heights. We have not forgotten that promise. You can be pessimistic if you want to. You can be jealous if you wish. You can have put downs, and you can spend your time getting on the telephones and calling up people and coming up with all kinds of negative aspersions and trying to put something down if you wish. But I'm telling you, Almighty God himself promised us that the believers, the trustworthy ones, will win through. I'm excited to let you know that the Tinley Park Convention Center Holiday Inn is rapidly filling up. I talked to Ismail Kadar, young, vibrant businessman, not even 35 years old, 32 years old. He's excited and pumped up. They're going to have buses leave. We're going to have planes. We're going to show our enemies. We're going to make them despair. Oh, I thought you could say you're going to talk about business today. I am talking about business. Book your lodging at the Holiday Inn, 18501 Convention Center Drive in Tinley Park, Illinois. Call 708-444-1100, code MOS, August the 29th through the 31st. You know, I always wondered, I interrogated Imam Muhammad's message. Why would he have a convention on Labor Day? But I'm going to tell you, this is my answer. And you can disagree with me. I follow Imam Muhammad. And I follow his teachings as though God had revealed it to him. And you know what? I'm convinced he did. I'll stand on that with anybody. I believe God has not ended his message. He will continue to send message to men and women. The prophet was the last prophet. The God's message and understanding will become to men and women until this earth is wrapped up and finished and man is no longer on the earth. Man will constantly need the guidance of God. And I am convinced that when man looked back, he will see how Imam Muhammad revived a whole dead people, a whole dead community, a people that claimed Al-Islam but didn't have it. Now let us continue. Reviving our unity through the legacy of excellence. We're going to revive our unity through excellence. One of the people that's going to be there is Judge David Shahi. I remember when he was selling bean pies and earrings. Skinny as a rail. And now he is a recording court judge. Huh? A judge of record. A judge that in his state he could sentence you to death. This is a state court judge. We have Judge Hassan Al-Amin, a judge, huh? But coming out of the legacy of the Nation of Islam, huh? This is the best kept secret in America. There's no Islamic phobia. Nobody fears us. We had a brother right in Alabama, the state that produced George Wallace, who said segregation now, segregate whatever. Well, he had to step aside when the real Wallace came, Imam Wallace Dean Muhammad. We have people in the United States Congress. We have people right now in the White House from our community. They're not hiding. They have Muslim names. And they told the President of the United States, I came out of the community, Imam Deputy Muhammad. And the President of the United States said to them, I'm from Chicago. I know Imam Deputy Muhammad.
That's right. Go ahead, Al.
All right. We have a brother named Abdul Rashid Akbar. Came up off the bricks. Shot in his leg. Didn't even have a GED degree. Didn't even have either basic education. Came stumbling to our mosque on Stone Island Avenue with a bullet in him. An orphan. Didn't know his mother or father. Stumbled up into our center. Got an adult basic education. Went on to get a GED. Went on to get an associate's degree. Went on to get a master's degree and retired as a dean of students. Huh? Tell me that God ain't working on us, huh? There's Dr. Lynn Muhammad. Her daddy was a lieutenant in the Nation of Islam. She's PhD, University of Illinois. Brother Rasul, huh? Brother Imam Rasul, a millionaire in his own right, a generous millionaire, a millionaire that helps the community. Take four-page ads in the Muslim Journal. The president of Mosque Cares, President Warazuddin Muhammad II. Now, they don't invite anybody else to come and sit on these August bodies from Imam Muhammad's community. They invited him. And if you Negroes would wake up and get out of your envy, and get out of your jealousy, and claim and your false claims, all you're going to do is sit around and criticize. And spend time putting down, well, he ain't this, he ain't that. Get out of niggerism. God says in the Quran, Malti Pahaya, die so you ain't there. Die to niggerism. Die to slavism. Die to all other schisms. And come alive in God's word and get about your father's business. Get into the earth. Seek your share of the earth. Yes, we even have Imam Talib Sharif coming. Man that was a command master sergeant, the highest enlisted man in the United States Air Force, walked in the Pentagon like he walked in his house. The generals called on him. Out of our community, he wasn't Bill Jones, he wasn't Sam Culpepper. He is a Muslim with Muslim name. Yes, Imam Wazir from down in Houston, Texas, one of our promising young men. David Hassan, we're going to have a powerful, power-packed convention. I'll ask you to put your money together. I'll even tell you to go and get some money. But be at that convention and witness God's special blessings upon us, for us. We ain't no high, a blessed, highly favored. We are most favored. There's nobody on the earth got what we got. Y'all worried about what's going on in the Gaza Strip? You better worry about what's going on in Chicago with 100 people being killed. You should worry about the fact that you're not in the competitive race to open up businesses, that you could go to 8-11, 7-11, and then you go behind the 8 ball and you find out that you're in the side pocket because you ain't got business development. Put down your envy. Put down your jealousy. Put down your put down. I call a well-known brother in this community. So you're going to be at the convention? I ain't feeling Wallace. Well, hell, you got nothing about feeling. We are rational. Imam Muhammad and the Abdullah Muhammad raised you above feeling. Huh? Forget what you like the brother now. Forget because he's short. Huh? You say, sound like you've been influenced by the Willie Lynch lie. Now, the Willie Lynch story is really not a true story, but it's a mindset. And we can find out that he's light-skinned. I don't like him because he wore a mustache. I had a brother say he objected to the brother because he had a houndball mustache. I said, he's a good brother. Can you work with him? Yeah, but I ain't never fat like nobody with a houndball mustache. I had another brother say he ain't like nobody because his name was Maurice. Now, if that's not a slave-minded person, I don't know what it is. And you have to fight that. Allah tells us to fight these concepts. This is Satan's scheme to divide you into confusion. So we're going to revive our unity through the legacy of excellence. We want the best mind. Now, let me tell you something else. This ain't all that's going to happen here. We're on the subject. We're going to share tafsir and leadership and tawil of Imam Deputy Muhammad. Remember, none of us, according to Imam Omar Hamid, that you missed at the Ramadan session. And you should be coming to the Ramadan session. If you got money over and above your rent money, you should be at these conventions. You should be at these mosques here. If you say you follow Imam Deputy Muhammad and you would come out to hear him, you should come out to hear the collective picture. Nowhere is the collective picture of Imam Muhammad more clear than events that are sponsored by Mosque Care. But he said, none of us are Imam W.D. Muhammad, but all of us is Imam W.D. Muhammad. So I expect Imam W.D. Muhammad to be at the convention this Labor Day weekend. Let me go on to tell you the interrogation I was successful in giving my opinion on. And that's all it is. I have an opinion. That's all ijma is the opinion of someone who's learned. God has blessed me to be learned because I've studied in the school of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and I continue to study him, and I follow him. Imam Muhammad said, and telling us in a meeting, private meeting, of the Imam Council, first meeting, August of 1978, he says, in order to motivate your people toward labor and work, he said, tell them what God said. God says, I am a worker. So you too work. He said, God says, goes on to say, and never, this is God, the one who put the sun, moon, and stars. I'm not talking about Farad. I'm not talking about a man that goes to the bathroom. I'm talking about the man that created the brain of people who made the bathroom. I'm not talking about a man that sneezes. I'm talking about the one that creates the heavens and the earth. This is what God said, the creator of the heavens and the earth. I know some of you want to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm speaking to a mostly non-Muslim audience. So why should I use a bunch of Arabic words so you can look up to me and all the brothers say, did you hear his beautiful Arabic? Or his, some of you said, his Arabic wasn't that good. I know you Negroes, so that's our problem. Okay, but anyway, God, the Most High said, the creator of the heavens and earth, highly glorified is he, said, I am a worker. There is never a time that I'm not engaged in some marvelous work. Now listen to this. This is God talking. How? The creator of the heavens and earth. And scientists now have said, they don't know the extent of the universe. They say they see new planet, new stars. So what God is telling them, why is he telling them that? We can't build no stars. We can't build a sun. We can't build another moon. We can't build that. But God said, you too work in your place. Huh? You can build a new earth, a mental new earth, new people. You can build a new sun, a light. You can build a new stars, a stars, and you, and we see Judge David Chai, he's a star. We see Judge Hassan Olam, he's a star. We see many stars. Huh? The great Aisha K. Mustafa, a star in her own right, a journalist, a professor. Now, she ain't put me in her paper now, that's another thing, but I still love her. But that's what y'all tell her that too. Now, some of y'all listen, y'all tell her. I give her a public, she won't give me any, but I still love her. See? Yeah? Well, Clyde McFadden says, a lover's question, I want to know. But reviving our unity through the legacy of excellence, I expect her to be there. We're going to have a brother coming all the way from Las Vegas. Vegas to perform for Galef Goward and many other musicians. In other words, we're going to have culture. We're going to have business. We're going to get a change. There's going to be an opportunity for people to have investors. This convention is something that every one of you should be at. We'll have awards, believers in uniform, people in the military, business expo, career planning, college community, dawah. I'm going to make a presentation. Religion means what? Alive. Workshops, education, entrepreneurs, everything called family life. These fashion shows. Get your fashions on. Government engaged, Hodge, health, wellness, fitness, honor our pioneer. No, you ain't married. Let's get single married. Market it. Mobilize new out. That's going to be a powerful convention. I am pumped up, jumped up, fired up, and ready to go. Now, those of you who ain't got no energy, those who criticize, I'm sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. You should be excited because this is a fulfillment of what the Army of Elijah Muhammad said would take place.
Right.
He said that you would be promised money, good home, friendship in all walks of life, luxury, peace of mind, and contentment while you live. And he said you would have your own government. He said, now, we got our own government. America allows us to have government. That's what I love about this country. That's why I don't believe in no Islamophobia. I don't believe in no kind of phobias. A phobia is some psychological disorder. We're going to win in America. And we're going to win not through a beg-a-thon. We're going to win because we're going to plant our roots in America so deep that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. We're going to build business life in America. That's our focus. And that's what this convention is for, to bring the better minds together so we can get together. Stop complaining. We got $1.3 trillion that come through our hands. Let's make Howard University the top university in the world. I was just reading the New York Times last week's edition, and that's far behind. And they talked about the need for 35,000 doctors. Isn't it a damn shame up in Harlem, New York, a group of Jewish people had to open up a medical school, and they're mostly only 7% of the students are African-American people. In Harlem, that they got money from the empowerment. Because you're asleep and dead. You're dead. Wake up. You should be on the phone right now texting somebody. Listen to what Imam Alfred has. But now some of us will get behind the phone and try to criticize and beat him up, try to kill his spirit. That's the sickness of us as a people. That's the sickness of us as a people. But God says beautifully that this is the book. There's no doubt in it. No doubt. La means no. Arriba. What? Fear in it. That is a book. That's a book. So it's a book for what? Success. The book ends at that first part of the book, of the second chapter of the book, tells these are those who are successful. Now, God wants success. You don't have to wait for Zig Ziglar to motivate you. You don't have to wait for Dale Carnegie to motivate you. The one who created you is better able to guide you. You don't wait for somebody who is confused enough to go back to ancient Egyptian teachings with Isis to guide you. God has given you a guide in the teachings of Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad, and we're going to be at the convention. Now, I tell you and I warn you that those who don't support this, you're going to be the loser. It's not going to be a loss for us. It's going to be a loss for you. So business life. Continuing about my father's business. To dig into the earth. Imam Muhammad said to the young people that we should go into the Quran with these words. O Allah, give me that which you know I need, the message that I need, to be a better Muslim and be more obedient to you. That's the spirit we have to have. And he said we will develop supreme technology. That's my term, supreme. But we will develop technology. We will develop science. We will restore education. We will smash the social ideas where parents are disrespected. We will be able to develop the kind of life that God wants for us. Yes, New Africa, I'm telling you, it's coming. I was talking to a big man in the heavens, and he told me. He said, you know what? What are you guys' plans? I said, I think we'll do it in the next 10 years. He said, I think you'll wrap it up in the next 5. And all we need is message. Don't come with your understanding of the Quran, because God didn't give it to you. Don't come with your strategy, because God didn't give it to you. Follow the strategy. People want to know who is the leader. We already got a leader, Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad. All you got to do is be in the choir and proclaim the message. The message has already been given. You take the message and pass it on to people. Then mobilize people. For what purpose? To build institutional life. And here we want a powerful business life. Imam Muhammad said that the masjid should be a part. The school should be bigger than the masjid. And business should be even bigger than the school. So we should have one school, one masjid, and we could pray inside the school, but we should be surrounded by clinics, urgent care clinics. Brother asked me the other day, he said, why can't we have doctors? We don't have physicians down in our neighborhood. Because we won't come together. God gives it to you. He tells you clearly. Surely man is in loss, except those, the thinking being, not the fools, not the people who are going to potty their lives away, not the envious, jealous types, not the ones who are putting people down, but the social creature is in loss, except those who join in the mutual teaching of true principles, and enjoy patience upon each other, sabr. Patience, not just sit back and wait. Hard work. I don't care what your situation is. You can just come out of the hospital. Go to work. Get together with somebody else. Find 2 or 3 people you can work together with. Put a business plan together. Work. Pool your resources. I was a great minister by the name of Minister James Shabbat. He spawned hundreds of businesses in Newark, New Jersey. Oh, I could hear one of you say, but he was this. But stop the budding. Look at the good. Business life. There are more businesses now under Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad than there were in the Nation of Islam. I'm like Muhammad said, we're going to get everything back. Yes, we're going to get farmland back. I don't have to look to Farrakhan for no plan for farm. That model that we had of the Nation of Islam, that model is finished. We now, the Nation of Islam businesses were supported by the charities. We're going to support business with profits, with investors, with growth, with real customers. And it's coming about, and it will come about directly as a result of what is happening at this convention. And I intend to be one of the loudest voices in America, not trying to be the leader. Imam Muhammad is the leader. We have a structure. Mosque cares. I'm going to support it. I don't care who is over it. I'm going to be with it. As long as they support Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad, and I know Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad II, support Imam W. Dean Muhammad. That's his concern. I've been studying him since he was a child. I know his concern is his father's work. And we're going to make it successful. We're going to make sure we have right now, they have business products, coral calcium, all of these things. We're going to revive the economic program, and they're going to be successful. And we're going to take that to the general public. And God is with us. God is shining his face. You say his faith? What do you mean the faith? The faith of God is God's identity. And what is the identity of God? God's identity for us is we come as a servant. He is the superior. He is the one above us all. That's what God wants for us. He wants it. We're always on business. Business is the life of a people, to dig in the material earth, to build the kind of life that we have for us. It requires business life to develop. We don't have to go out here and beg others to do for us that which we can do for ourselves. We have to dig into the earth and receive from the earth that what God wants for us. God has given us a challenge. God has offered to us. He said, give to me a beautiful loan. Well, God is offering, that's the language of business people. You go to a business person, they need investors. They need customers. And God is telling us, loan those talents to the cause, not to God. God needs nothing from us. Dear beloved people, we're going to cut this short. We're going to close this out. And we're going to see you tomorrow, where our guest tomorrow will be the brother Nasif Majid. Brother Nasif Majid is a politician, former airline pilot, a B-52 bomber, former city councilman in Charlotte, North Carolina, and an ardent supporter of the work of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Tuesday, we will have Ron Howell on, a news reporter who's written on fatherhood, followed Wednesday by our weekly psychological program. And Thursday, we will be back with health. Friday, we will be back with our dear brother and dear friend, Brother Imam Yusuf Salam. And you can send your donations to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Sunday, we will be back on air. Saturday will be Wali Muhammad, the communicator. He will be coming on at 1 o'clock. We will soon return back to the air on Saturdays. But Saturdays at 1 o'clock, we have Wali Muhammad, the communicator, the son, the grandson of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You have listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive.